Our gospel lesson this morning is John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In those lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. So health is obviously something that is important to us. Right? Health and fitness, diet and exercise, what we put into our bodies, what we eat, right, what we do with our bodies, exercise, physical exertion. Right? So last year, 2025, within the United States of America spent $5.6 trillion on healthcare, approximately $16,000 for every person in the United States. And according to the World Health Organization, health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So on some level, you could say that the notion of health, at least based on that definition, encompasses every aspect of our being. So health is something that is inescapably central to our human experience. So I ask you this morning, do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be healed? Which brings us to our gospel reading this morning, our sermon text. So something we find throughout the gospels, including in John's gospel, are personal encounters with Jesus. It's always striking in some way. And in these encounters, Jesus reveals himself to that person and by extension to us, and he reveals that person to himself or herself, and by extension, reveals us to us. And so today we consider such an encounter. We'll look at it in three headings. One, Jesus approaches. Two, Jesus questions. Three, Jesus heals. So first, Jesus approaches. So our chapter finds Jesus in Jerusalem, the opening in verse 1. And what is he doing there? He's there to celebrate a feast. And the particular feast is not identified for us. But when I go to a feast, when you go to a feast, what's our perspective? Well, I think most of us, myself included, well, when we go to a feast, we're thinking about enjoyment, celebration. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is the purpose of a feast, right? And we're there maybe to get away, have some downtime. What's Jesus doing, however? Where is Jesus? He is at a place, at a pool called Bethesda. And he's not there simply for his own enjoyment. He's there to draw near. Not to get away, but to draw near. And as we read in our text in verse 3, Bethesda is a pool that draws a great number of disabled people. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. In particular, Jesus sees a man who's been an invalid, unable to walk for 38 years, and he approaches him to speak to him. Why does he do this? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is filled with mercy and has compassion on the weak, the helpless, the needy. The more dire the circumstance, the more likely Jesus is to move towards it, towards him or her or them. Right? We see difficult people, difficult circumstances, and at least our instinct, our inclination, our natural desire is to separate ourselves or maybe go the other way. Jesus sees difficulty and he is attracted, he is drawn. He's moved with compassion towards people in their distress. As we read in Matthew's gospel, he looked out on the crowds, on the people, and had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So when Jesus sees those on whom society has given up, who may even have given up on themselves, he draws near and he speaks words of life and of hope. Is that not wonderful? Is that not marvelous, glorious? Not just for them, but for us too. He draws near and comes to you. Supplies whether or not the situation in which you find yourself is of your own doing. If you are in a situation where you are suffering through no fault of your own and find yourself sinking into despair or resignation, Jesus comes to look for you, to attend to you. And if you are in the depth of sin, he draws near. If you're in a deeply ingrained pattern of behavior that you can't imagine you will ever stop, or you've committed a one-time act whose consequence is ongoing guilt and burden and shame, he does not turn away from your unworthiness, your sinfulness, your guilt, but looks for you and comes to you to approach you. For that is why he came. It is for this reason he says he came. He says, I came to seek and save the lost. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to share in our humanity, fully immersing himself into our experience, into your experience. He's willing to come all the way down into any gutter, into any place, no matter how dark or grimy, whether that is an actual location or down into the depths of your heart. His is not above it all contrived religion or advice, but real life on the ground redemption. To the man whose time and thoughts are consumed by pornography, he comes. To the husband and wife who treat one another as enemies, he comes. To the parents whose disabled child requires around-the-clock care, he comes. To the one who's been betrayed, he comes. To those who are selfish, all about yourself, he comes. To those who are bitter and resentful, comes. To those who are grieving and inconsolable, he comes. To the lonely, weary, and burdened, he comes. Our Lord Jesus is not uncomfortable around messed up, diseased, suffering, sinful people, but the one through whom the galaxies were made approaches you not only because he wants to care for you, but because he wants you. He wants you to be his. He wants to unite himself to you inseparably forever. Who is like the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends? Where will you find someone like him, a friend so faithful, a friend so true? Which brings us to our second point or heading, Jesus questions. So when he comes, he approaches the man. He's laying there. He asks a question. Do you want to be healed? Now, does that seem like an odd question to you? And maybe even insensitive? Like, so, you know. So you know how the common sort of wisdom is a proverb, proverbial almost, is that you don't discuss politics or religion, and among others, in company. Well, you know, those are the two topics you stay away from. Well, in our extended family, we don't follow that rule, right? This is what we talk about. And sometimes it can get a little intense, right? So anyway, one year at Thanksgiving, I just remember this is going back like, I think like 21 years, but I just never forgot it. Right? Someone actually brought up this question Jesus asked because the person thought it was ridiculous Like, he knew about it, so he knew enough about the Bible that he knew of this question. But he just thought, like, what kind of question is that? No, I just want to lay here for the rest of my life. Of course he wants to be healed. He wants to be well, right? Actually, this is the all-important question. This is the only life this man had known for 38 years. And when something is familiar, it can become, in a way, safe. In a strange sense, because he knew what to expect, he could exercise some semblance of control. Being healed would put him into a whole new world. In that world, you know what he wouldn't have? He wouldn't have the built-in excuse of his disability. Sometimes we want to have excuses that are available to us on demand. He wouldn't be able to live in his self-pity all the time. Self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves, can be a friend that's hard to let go of. He's not a good friend, right? He's a terrible friend. He's not a friend at all, right? He's actually rather destructive and useless. But sometimes we just like having him around just in case. Maybe sitting at the edge of the pool, giving the impression that he wanted to be healed, deceiving even himself, is exactly where this man wanted to be or was afraid of not being. 38 years. He survived this long. Do you want to be healed? It's a real question. Turning the question to our attention to ourselves, we must receive the question's power and precision. And to really hear Jesus addressing us. No words he speaks are wasted or overlooked or to be taken for granted. Maybe even as we find ourselves suffering and frustrated, we find security in the familiar and have even become attached to it. It's possible to have your life defined and organized around a crisis or burden so that without it, you wouldn't even know what to do. Change is hard, even when it's something away from something we don't like. Because we may not want what comes with that change or what that change calls for. It changing may involve me changing. And I don't know if I want that. For the one whose husband or wife has become your enemy or feels like your enemy, maybe Jesus' question about being healed doesn't simply concern a change in the other person, but is about you learning to love patiently the one who's against you the way Jesus loves you. Do you want that? Would you rather keep a record of wrongs? Do you want to be healed? I know I've certainly had an experience of outwardly praying a repentant prayer, even as inwardly I was planning on going right back to continuing whatever I was doing. There's a madness to it. I did not want to be healed. Does the man immersed in pornography really want to be healed? Or do you love your sin too much? Quite often, even as we are in distress, in sin, we are the people of the status quo who want to keep things the same, while Jesus is the one who wants to change us. By asking this man, asking us what we want, Jesus is striking at the core of our being, right at the depths of our hearts, what you desire, because he's saying, what do you want? Do you want to be healed? What we want, what you desire, is what you trust, what you invest your ultimate hope in. This is what I want for my life. Do you actually want? This is ultimately the question. Do you actually want the reins of your life, to hand them over to Christ Jesus, to allow him to change you, to do what he determines is right and good and true in every circumstance? Do you want him to change you so that you want what he wants? What do you want? Do you want to be healed? It is the most important, most penetrating question of all, because there's no real healing, no real change apart from him, the healer. The healer and the healing are inseparable. Now notice in verse 7 that the man does not actually answer the question Jesus asks him. He immediately starts giving all these excuses and reasons why he hasn't been healed, explaining all the things that are against him, right? He answers the question as if it were an accusation. He makes sure to explain why it's not his fault. He's actually too busy defending himself, explaining, excusing to even give an answer. He doesn't say, "Yes, I want to be healed." He doesn't do that. It's almost as if he perceives a threat, and he goes right into self-protection mode. Often when Jesus is approaching with his truth, his words, his questions, his very self, it can feel threatening and intrusive. The questions are pointed and they are personal. They are cutting deep. And sometimes, maybe often, your sense of your own need and his knowledge of your whole need don't necessarily match up. He goes deeper than we might want him to. He's unsettling. He's disturbing. We might want a Tylenol, and he's there to do surgery, to cut right down into the depths. So what we can do is start defending ourselves from him, like he's a salesperson who's come to our door. Right? What do you want from me, man? Now, interestingly, the man thinks the question about his being healed is about what he hasn't done, or what he's done, or what he needs to do, or where he needs to go. The question is actually about the one asking the question and his response to him. Our Lord's question to you, "Do you want to be healed?" is about him and your response to him. It's not so much about what you did or didn't do. It's like, this is where you are. I see where you are. I'm not here to... I know where you're at. And here I have come into your plight as it is. Do you want to be healed? Now, thankfully, Jesus doesn't let his defensiveness sort of stop him. But he keeps coming. Just as he keeps moving towards the man. Just as he keeps moving towards us to reveal who he is to us and to exercise his power on your behalf, he continues. So that brings us to our third heading or point. Jesus heals. He says to the man, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man is healed. The one who approaches you in compassion is the one who is God in power. It's the same one. So after 38 years of paralysis with no cure, and no one to help, this man is up on his feet, healed, well, walking. Amen. And yet, he has no idea that it was Jesus who did this for him. He just moves on without recognizing the person who has done this. He's somewhat oblivious and inattentive. He does not see and isn't aware of this incredible combination that is Jesus Christ, of tender, pursuing, patient, personal mercy, and awesome, creative, healing, life-giving power. So even as he's no longer paralyzed, he's blind. Do we see? Do we understand? Are you aware of your complete dependence on God for every moment you live and breathe? Do you realize that every good gift that you enjoy is provided to you by your Father, as a sign of his grace and care, an expression of his goodness? Do you know that the kindness and patience of God is meant to lead you to repentance? When we see God rightly, we are set free of our sense of entitlement, our resentments, our bitterness. We are glad for him to search our hearts and to heal us. We desire to submit our whole lives to the one who is both powerful and good. But when we don't see God rightly, when we're inattentive, oblivious, we also don't see ourselves rightly. We don't see our desperate need for mercy and for forgiveness. We don't see our ungodliness and pride and self-righteousness. So this is from an author, Christian writer, named Neil Shenvey. He says, There are depths of our pride, selfishness, pettiness, lust, anger, and self-obsession that we hide from ourselves because we cannot bear what they reveal about us. We don't see the Lord, therefore we don't see ourselves. Do you see him standing right in front of you? Or are we too wrapped up in our own small vision of life, our demands, our expectation to see Jesus Christ? That is why I think Jesus returns to this man. He doesn't want him to be temporarily healed and yet miss him, not know him. Because he loves him, he goes back to him and he finds him. See, verse 14, see you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. What could be worse than physical paralyzing disability for 38 years? Sin. His determination to run his own life apart from God, rejecting his authority and its eternal consequences. He says to him, see, you are well, but don't think that's the end of it. Or even that's what's most important. I've come back to you so that you might have your biggest problem dealt with. He also approaches us. And he tells us about our biggest problem. Even more than being physical invalids, we are spiritual invalids who cannot heal ourselves, who cannot redeem ourselves, who cannot raise ourselves, who cannot save ourselves. The one who tells you, who speaks to you about the biggest problem, your biggest problem and my biggest problem, our sin that dominates us and drags us off to hell ultimately, doesn't talk to you about something you go to someone else to solve or that you do for yourself. The reason we can accept what Jesus tells us and not hide or deny, but agree with him in confessing this truth about ourselves is because he doesn't leave us there. He is the solution to the problem. Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of you, offering you his healing, his mercy, his life for yours? What is the outcome of sin, ultimately? What is it? Watch out! Something worse may happen to you. It is death, it is judgment, it is hell. Do you want to be healed? And when you say yes to him, what is opened up to you? That he took that worst thing that can happen and made it his own and is dying on the cross for you and rising from the dead, that is yours. And in taking the worst thing, he gives you the best thing, himself and forgiveness and everlasting life in him. That is yours. Heaven is open to you. Joy is open to you. Hope is open to you. Do you want to be healed? And that's not so that you'll walk away forgetting who he is and living your life as if you don't know him, but so that you'll live in the reality, the freedom of your spiritual healing. You're no longer an invalid. And so that you do what this man ends up doing. When others ask you, you'd say, yes, it was Jesus who healed me. Think about where this man began and where he now is. Because our Lord approached him. He asked him the most simple, pointed question of all. And he acted on his behalf and then kept coming for him until he recognized who he was and then confessed him. To anyone who would ask. Jesus gives himself utterly and completely to you who believe in him, joining you to himself by his Spirit, so that his life is now present and at work in you. And when he returns, there will be no more disability, invalidity, blindness, paralysis, sickness, disease, because you will be fully and finally healed in every single aspect of your being. In your fully glorified resurrection bodies in him. That is a reality that you have now received by faith in Christ. That work has been done on your behalf. And you live by faith, and one day your faith will become sight. Live in that healing that belongs to you. So as we go, a few points of thought or application. First, I probably said it I don't know how many times, but I'll say it again. Take the question to heart. You want to be healed. Hear him asking you this question. Ask the Lord by the piercing power of his Spirit to search your heart, to show you where you might be resisting his healing or blind to your need for his healing. Offer yourself to him to do as he pleases according to his will. Search me, O God. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Two, this is something you do together. For this purpose, you have been joined together as the people of God and of Christ in one local church. We're celebrating today 50 years in this particular location as members of one another. Right? It's personal. It's you and the Lord, and it's together. It's you all and the Lord. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. Right? Ephesians 4:25. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And as you tell one another the truth, as you speak God's words to each other, the Lord heals. Psalm 107:20. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Three, as you have been healed in Christ, by Christ, go and do likewise. You and you all draw near to invalids in Jesus' name, for such were all of us. Do you want to be healed? Yes, Lord Jesus. We want to be healed. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, thank you for sending your Son into this world to come down, all the way down into the places of crushing invalidity and blindness to heal us. Lord Jesus, thank you for drawing near and coming down, for approaching us, for seeing us, seeing the depths of our need and healing us fully and completely and absolutely by taking all of our diseases, all of our sin, all of its awfulness and filth and godlessness and blindness and paralysis and ultimately death upon yourself to deliver us from it. Oh Lord, by the work and power of your Spirit, penetrate hearts of all of us here this morning with your precise question. Let us allow your word to penetrate our hearts as deeply as is necessary. And let us receive everyone here. You know the hearts, the overt troubles of everyone here, and the hidden troubles of everyone here. Do your work of healing in this body by the power of your Spirit. Thank you that you were able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. And we pray, Lord, for any who are spiritually invalid this morning, that they would rise to life in you through faith. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see those around us in need, to approach and draw near as your instruments, as you have received, those who have received your healing, that we would be willing and glad instruments of that same healing. Apply this word to our hearts by the power of your Spirit, for the glory of your great name, for we pray in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.